breaking news today on Jay Sekulow Live. An FBI agent on Mueller's team said the entire investigation was to, quote, get Trump. And it was a dead end, a dead end investigation. We'll talk about that and more today on Jay Sekulow Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
All right, folks, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. We've got a lot of breaking news today to cover. First off, we've got new filings in the Flynn case, and these new filings shed light on what was happening at these, even before the special counsel's office, but the FBI investigation into Mike Flynn, Crossfire Razor, how that became Crossfire Hurricane, and a key FBI agent who's 302. So his testimony that he gave during his interview with the FBI also came out. I'm going to walk you through it in order, because if you just go piece by piece by piece, it doesn't really put the whole picture together. So we're going to do that today on the broadcast live for you. Also, very important to note, now it is known that the FBI and special counsel's team knew all along that the main source to Christopher Steele for the Steele dossier had been a suspected Russian agent committing illegal activity, potentially, so a dangerous agent. And they knew this the entire time at the special counsel's office, and yet they tried to take the dossier in and use it, remember, at the FBI as well, as a predicate for a Freedom of Information, for FISA warrants on American citizens and to spy on the Trump campaign. But let's get to the heart of this. So at the heart of it, just kind of like the top headline is this. There's an FBI official who served on Bob Mueller's team said he believed the special counsel's prosecution, this is under oath, by the way, in testimony to the FBI, of former White House National Security Advisor Mike Flynn was part of an attitude to, quote, get Trump. And that he did not wish to pursue a Trump-Russia collusion investigation as it was, quote, not there, and considered it to be a, quote, dead end. But it gets even more interesting. You go back, you see these communications between the FBI agents who wanted to close the Flynn investigation. And in these text messages back in October 13th of 2016, the FBI employees seemed concerned about the scope of Crossfire Hurricane. They discussed an investigator who, quote, is one of the worst offenders of the rabbit holes and conspiracy theories, and, quote, if this thing ever gets FOIA'd, there's going to be some tough questions asked. Yeah, now there's a couple of three U.S. attorneys, I think, looking into it, so some tough questions asked is right to say. They called it the Crossfire Roadshow. They were having these messages in their internal chat that they had at FBI. They said, I'm telling you, man, if this thing ever gets FOIA'd, there are going to be some tough questions asked. This person is one of the worst offenders of the rabbit holes and conspiracy theories. They say that, like, if this guy traveled with that guy who put down third guy as his visa sponsor, third guy lives near a Navy base, therefore, of course, that's the FISA, he must be committing some kind of crime. But it goes on, in November 2016, communications appear to show the FBI's desire to close down the investigation into Michael Flynn, Crossfire Razor, and the FBI seemed relieved that it's finally being closed down. They said, we have some loose ends to tie up and we'll need to meet to discuss with each case to shut down Razor. So glad they're closing Razor was in the chat. But the concern from employees seemed to increase as the Razor investigation remained open. It wasn't closed as they suggested. Remember, it was their suggestion to close the investigation into Mike Flynn. And they discuss whether national security letters and others are a good idea, and they call it, quote, a nightmare. They start buying liability insurance. I am not kidding you. Liability insurance, because they are worried that they are engaged in what? Something that could come back to get them as a crime. They could be held liable for financially. So they started buying liability insurance. That's how bad they thought this investigation was. Folks, we're just touching the tip of the iceberg of this new information. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110, if you want to talk to us on air. That's 1-800-684-3110. And remember, sign that petition, fill that seat, aclj.org.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. We've got to continue. Let's go through the timeline. This is breaking news, folks, and you've got to take the time to understand all the different aspects. So concern from the employees at the FBI, they seem to increase as the Razor investigation of Mike Flynn just remained open. And this is the point where they said, you know, here, we'll go through it. Despite what appears to be a desire by those employees of the FBI for the Razor investigation to be closed and the D.C. field office closing recommendation to close Razor, which they put in on January 4th, they knew on January 5th that President Obama was going to be briefed, Vice President Biden and Susan Rice, and here are their texts. So Razor is going to stay open? Yeah. And then someone uses an expletive to describe how they feel about that remaining open. What's the word on how O's briefing went? Who is O? Obama, our president. Don't know, but people here are scrambling for info to support certain things, and it's a madhouse. Trump was right, one of the agents wrote. Still not put together. Why do we do this to ourselves? What is wrong with these people? Trump was right. What was he right about? No obstruction, no collusion. This is a witch hunt. In fact, in that time, I think all he'd probably said was the witch hunt part, and saying Trump was right. You know, that we are spying on them. This has no basis. This is totally wrong. So then they go on. They get so concerned that one employee announces to others that they're getting professional liability insurance to shield them from lawsuits. And they're starting to look for other jobs. They're going to leave the FBI over this. We all went and purchased, we all went and purchased professional liability insurance. The other person writes back, holy crap. And the analyst too? Yeah. Do they help reimburse you? All the folks at the agency as well. That's not great. La la. They go through how then they have to go through purchasing liability insurance. Okay. This is why they're dragging the country through the start of what will be a very divisive time in the country. And they recognized it. They wanted this ended, but it would not stop. In fact, the Department of Justice submitted on September 24th This is when it gets more interesting. So just yesterday, an exhibit in the FBI's 302 of an interview conducted just last week with the former case agent on the Flynn matter, special agent at the FBI, William Barnett. He handled the counterintelligence investigation of Mike Flynn. First, he said that Razor and the Manafort investigation were part of Crossfire Hurricane. He was briefed on the investigation, which was largely based on information alleging that members of Trump's presidential campaign had compromising info on Hillary Clinton campaign and the Trump campaign had been penetrated by the Russians. He thought the Crossfire Hurricane investigation was, quote, opaque with little detail concerning specific evidence of criminal events. He thought the case theory was supposition on supposition. That means things you make up on things you make up that you don't actually know are true based on another thing that you don't actually know is true, but that you hope is true or something. And he believed his lack of understanding was a result of just not being familiar with the case. But that changed as he made himself familiar with the case. This is coming out of the FBI 302 of his interview under oath last week. As he made himself familiar with the case, he, quote, found the Razor investigation to be unclear and disorganized. So, Than, I want to go to Than Bennett, Washington, D.C. We have the FBI field agents saying, please shut this down or I'm going to have to go buy liability insurance. There is no there there. We have Mike Barnett saying that this is just a disorganized, unclear. He goes on then to say, you have an FBI agent saying that Trump was right about the whole investigation, Than.
Yeah, let me zoom out just a little bit, Jordan, because it's almost hard to digest all of this information that you're putting out there. Each one of them really is a bombshell, Jordan. So let me zoom out. I would put it this way. I think the entire house of cards is literally falling down around the FBI and the DOJ, and we thought that before, largely because of something that is now revealed in these texts, because the investigation was FOIA'd, Jordan. Many organizations, including us, did FOIA. We've presented the documents to our listeners many times. I'm holding several of them in my hands right now, including that DC field office recommendation to shut down Crossfire Razor, including the email from Susan Rice that detailed that meeting inside the Oval Office, which, by the way, Jordan, and I know you haven't even gotten to this, you probably will, but I do think it's something we need to discuss. All of these data points that you're talking about, Jordan, the evidence supports that the people inside that Oval Office meeting knew about this information, Jordan. So you're talking about President Obama, you're talking about Vice President Biden, you're talking about James Comey, you're talking about Sally Yates, you're talking about Susan Rice. But look, the fix was inside the organization on Crossfire Hurricane, on Crossfire Razor, on the FISA applications. And Jordan, maybe here is the most breaking information from today as you've detailed it. The people inside who were working on this, Jordan, they knew it. Not just one or two of them. A lot of them knew it to the extent that they were buying liability insurance. And I've got to tell you, I sort of have two feelings on that. On the one hand, I don't feel sorry for some of them. I think they should have come forward sooner and made sure that this came to an end. But I will tell you, some of these line agents, Jordan, I do feel bad for them because they did the work. They put in the memo to close the investigation, and yet they were instructed to continue the work to the extent that they had to start buying liability insurance. And I'll just quickly say this. There's more coming. Jordan, we teased this yesterday. We've got more information inside a FOIA or a request that we made, Jordan, that once again ties what to this investigation? Ties the White House to the investigation on the day of the inauguration. People need to stay tuned. That information is coming.
Have we posted that yet at ACLJ.org or not yet, Than?
We're still putting it together, Jordan, but the other thing that I would tell you is all of what you have laid out, it's going to be front and center next Wednesday at the Senate Judiciary Committee as James Comey comes, and he's going to have to answer these questions. Let me tell you this, Jordan. One thing he's not going to be able to say, these are small matters. These are not small matters, Jordan.
I mean, look how many people this involves. I'm talking to you. I mean, let me get further into Barnett here. According to the FBI 302, Barnett was advised that not much has been being done on the Razor investigation. He also believed the predicate for the investigation in General Flynn was, quote, not great. He said they used methods which would tread lightly during the sensitive time of presidential election, and he advised there was no evidence of criminal activity. He continued to believe that the Razor investigation would yield no results and had a conversation with another FBI employee regarding, according to the futility of the investigation, And the quote, the lead on the Razor investigation was referred to as a, quote, believer because of the attachment to the theory, not the evidence, but theory that Flynn broke the law, said they were obsessed. They were out to get Trump and his associates, but that it was a dead end. There was no there there. It was a witch hunt. It was disgusting and disgraceful and pretty ugly. Others called it at the FBI a nightmare, the probe into President Trump. Not because of what they were finding, because of what wasn't there, that it was made up. But even though they tried to close Crossfire Razor on January 4th, Peter Strzok left it open. And the leaving of the file open did not change the lead agent, FBI Special Agent Barnett's view that Flynn was not compromised and no potential violation of a Logan Act. But then, of course, they go in and they brief the president. And it continues to be open. Now, in February 2017, this is interesting. This FBI agent actually asked to be removed from Crossfire Razor, the investigation of Flynn, because of his belief that it could be examined by the inspector general. And, of course, it was. Further, he believed that Andrew McCabe was directing Razor, and Barnett did not see any evidence of collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia. He believed the Razor investigation was not headed to the prosecution, but was a check-the-box exercise. That's what it should have been. Check the box. No problem there. But instead, Andy McCabe wanted, even though there was no evidence of collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia, to keep all of this open. I want you to keep this in mind, too, as this new Showtime show comes out about Jim Comey, and Jim Comey testifies. And by the way, I would hope, Than, I mean, I know we've only got 50 seconds left, I would start taking your calls on, what do you think about all this information coming out? 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. But Than, do you think FBI agent Barnett is going to be before the committee, before the election, possibly?
I think so. Jordan, we've talked about this, how they've interviewed people behind closed doors, including the agent that went over to interview Michael Flynn along with Peter Strzok. I think that Barnett would likely be interviewed, and I think James Comey is going to be asked about this on Wednesday. Jordan, you haven't even mentioned yet, because it's so much breaking. The Senate Judiciary Committee also knows that the primary subsource for the dossier might have been a Russian agent.
Yeah, in fact, the only reason they stopped the investigation of that person who they believed to be a Russian agent was that they left the country. They didn't close it. They said if he comes back to the country, we're going to reopen it. A Russian spy is the...
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. We are not through walking through all this new information that's come out in just the last few hours of the evening. Yesterday it started coming out around 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon. I was on Shannon Bream's broadcast show on Fox News last night discussing these protests and the violence, of Antifa. So check that out. We posted that up on our social media. And there was an issue we didn't get to on Shannon Bream's broadcast because the Democrat guest I was on with called me a racist, of course, in the middle of the interview. So Shannon rightfully and thankfully gave me the time to defend myself there. I was being called a racist because I said people might be concerned when they see these protests, which are not peaceful, and they are violent, and they are run by extremists, and you could say that they're been hijacked by extremists, but that's the known factor now. You know, if you have a gathering like this on behalf of people like Breonna Taylor and that you can't have a peaceful protest right now because it will be hijacked by Antifa and bad actors. And so, that's going to change the mind of voters. Somehow that was racist. Yeah, so I got to respond to that. But there was something I was going to say for Shannon's show, and we didn't get to it, so I want to show it to you now. Now, this is interesting. There's a buddy of mine here in Tennessee where I live, and he's from New Jersey. And his parents sent him a picture yesterday. He didn't know I was about to go on Fox News, but he thought, he knew we were doing some of the legal cases on the mail-in voting. So his parents sent him this picture. Let's put it up on the screen for people watching. This is an official ballot addressed to him. Now, we just blacked out because he said, please black out my parents' address. I don't want to get them canceled in New Jersey. But you can see even there, the county in New Jersey, the city in New Jersey, and it actually says return. It says like you need to, what is the exact wording on that? Return service requested. Not like you could use this or you can vote in person. But what's interesting here, we talked about the fraud here, potential of these mail-in ballots. He has not voted at that address in 18 years. In 18 years. And what we put up on the screen here for people to see was not a request for a mail-in ballot. It was a live ballot. Now, a lot of people are not going to be as honest and good as his parents and just say, we got a ballot. We shouldn't have this ballot. We should let our son know and then just kind of destroy it. But folks, that right there is the evidence of the potential fraud right there. That's stealing an election right there. Because how many ballots went out to people's addresses they may not even be at anymore? And people who have bad intentions say, well, who's going to stop me really filling this out, signing it, and voting for Joe Biden? 18 years he hasn't voted at that address. He's been in, he said he since that address in New Jersey when he was first able to vote. He's lived in New York, North Carolina, and Tennessee and was registered and now is registered in Tennessee to vote and was registered in all those states. He's wondering now, is in New York, is he going to get a mail? Is someone at his old address going to get it a ballot as well? So I just wanted to point that out to you because this idea of stealing an election is real. I just showed it to you. Put it on the screen one more time. A live ballot mailed to someone who had not voted at that address or in that state in 18 years, New Jersey. You could take that ballot, fill it out correctly, send it in, and no one would know it was fraudulent. No one would know. He didn't have to request it. It just showed up. That's not a request for a mail-in ballot. What you're seeing in that photo, what I'm talking about, folks, to you on radio, is a live ballot for President of the United States and other elections going on in New Jersey. So I just wanted to touch that. Let's get back to what we found out in this new filing in the Flynn case. So Barnett had repeatedly said that it was this get Trump, that's in quotes, attitude of many of the investigators. I want to read this to you. The appointment of the special counsel changed everything. Mueller was leading the special counsel's office. Search warrants were being drafted and executed on a regular basis. Attorneys in the special counsel's office were very aggressive and were directing things. Barnett described the special counsel office situation as upside down. Upside down. With attorneys drafting search warrants and getting agents to simply act as affiant. So people who are just like, you know, saying, okay, this is right. Instead of the situation of the FBI agents getting the information and then the attorneys utilizing it, putting it into a warrant, it was backwards. They would just come and say, hey, this is all right. Check it off for me. Barnett thought there was a, quote, get Trump attitude by some of the special counsel's office. Yeah, I think you could say that. And he said the get Trump attitude was exhibited in two different ways. He referenced incidents involving Trump, which were taken in the most negative manner, or in some cases, completely misrepresented. As an example, he described comments made by Trump in that investigators needed to, quote, get to the bottom of the matter. And one of the special counsel attorneys said Trump wanted to cover it up. Barnett corrected that attorney, saying, no, he said to get to the bottom of it, not cover it up. As another example, Barnett said the firing of FBI Director Comey was interpreted as obstruction when it could have just as easily had been done by Trump because he did not like Comey and wanted him replaced. He said the second way the get Trump attitude was exhibited by special counsel's office was what Burnett referred to as Mueller's, quote, all-stars, the Weissmans that we've talked about, which was a term used in news articles describing the special counsel's office. He said all the attorneys wanted to be part of something big, a successful prosecution. And Barnett described interviewing by the special counsel's office of witnesses in a way which seemed to only be after the goal of get Trump, that the interviews were weird. He said there was little follow-up by investigators, and he implicated Andrew Weissman specifically, the guy with the book out, as an example of this mentality. He called them the, quote, obstruction team. So they had already moved from collusion now to can we get Trump on obstruction. And he described the obstruction team's questions as general, said they did not ask follow-up or clarifying questions. He was perplexed by their lack of asking follow-up questions. So he began to ask follow-up questions and direct questions to cut to the chase and obtain facts. And he asked things like, do you know that as a fact, or are you speculating? Did you pass information from Trump to Flynn? And a special counsel attorney, this is interesting, Andrew Goldstein, called time out and cautioned Barnett by saying, if you keep asking these questions, we'll be here all day. Questions like, is this a fact, or are you just speculating? That's important to know. And he got cut off by people who should be in jail, like Andrew Goldstein, like the entire special. It should be Bob Mueller and his whole team. And maybe it's people like Mike Barnett who could be the lead witness to put him behind bars. That's true justice on this issue. Everybody talks about true justice these days. How do you get to true justice? On this issue, we'll take your calls in the second half hour. On this issue, true justice, jail for the special counsel's team. Bob Mueller has raided his house tonight. Wake him up at 3 in the morning with his wife, you know, with guns drawn. Do exactly to him like what was done to Roger Stone, except for these guys actually were committing crimes. Because this is misconduct at a level that is criminal. Second half hour, Jay Sekulow Live coming up. It's a big weekend, too. We know President Trump is going to be making his Supreme Court nominee announcement on Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. I'll be on Fox and Friends Sunday morning. Of course, we'll have a ton of analysis on that. We got a second half hour coming up. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110, and sign our petition to confirm the nominee to the court for the election, ACLJ.org.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
We have been walking through. And if you are just joining the broadcast, I encourage you, go to Facebook later today, Jay Sekulow's Facebook page or ACLJ.org, our YouTube page, and watch the broadcast because I cannot go back through all the information. The headline kind of takeaway is that there's an FBI agent who was both the lead agent investigating Mike Flynn and who worked for Peter Strzok, and the lead agent then on the special counsel's team. He didn't really want to join the special counsel's team, but he said, you know what, maybe I need to get in there to keep them straight because this is wrong what is happening. So he gave testimony to the FBI, and in his 302s, so this is sworn testimony, he said that the special counsel's prosecution of Mike Flynn was part of an attitude to, quote, get Trump, that's in quotes, and that he did not wish to pursue a Trump-Russia collusion investigation because it was, quote, not there, and, quote, a dead end. We also know that in the dossier, the lead source for Christopher Steele was being investigated as being a Russian spy by the Department of Justice as far back as 2009. And the only reason the investigation did not continue was because that Russian spy, the alleged Russian spy, left the United States. And so it's not like the case was closed. They said he wasn't a Russian spy. He just left our jurisdiction. They actually said if he comes back to the United States or within our jurisdiction, they would reopen the investigation into this person. That was the lead. And by the way, that's not new information for like the special counsel's team or the FBI. They knew that all along. They knew all along, and yet they still used the dossier to get the FOIA. But there's more to walk through here. I'm going to try to walk through it so we get through it in the short segment. And then when we get into our longer segments, we start taking your phone calls, have more of a discussion. But I want to get through it. So to Andrew Weissman, he said that FBI agent Barnett said that numerous attempts were made to obtain evidence that Trump directed Flynn, with no such evidence ever being obtained. Barnett said it was just an assumption, and the ground just kept being retreated. Barnett said it was always someone at the special counsel's office who claimed to have a lead on information that would prove the collusion, only to have that information be, quote, a dead end. Barnett provided an example. He said Weissman said that there was a meeting on a yacht near Greece that was going to be the proof of collusion of quid pro quo. Barnett said that within a day or two, the information was not able to be substantiated. He then said on the issue of wiping phones, he had this to say. He had a cell phone issued by the special counsel's office. He didn't wipe his, but he said that he did hear other agents comically, is in quotes. That's a word he used to the FBI. Comically talk about wiping cell phones, and that one agent he knew on the special counsel's team had the telephone previously issued to Peter Strzok. Barnett thought, and this is kind of the conclusion of his 302, the Trump campaign may have been aware Russians were attempting to impact the election, but that is far different from the Trump campaign and the Russians having a deal or working together quid pro quo. Barnett and others joked about how the investigation into collusion could have been made into a game which they referred to as, quote, collusion clue. Collusion clue. And with respect to Flynn, with the Russia ambassador in December 2016, he did not believe Flynn was being directed by Trump, did not believe Flynn had any additional information to provide to the special counsel's office. Barnett believed the prosecution of Flynn by the special counsel's office was used only as a means to, quote, get Trump. So we have walked through, for those of you watching, and this is just kind of the highlights of this 302 from FBI Special Agent Barnett. When we come back, got Harry Hutchinson here. We're going to walk through, take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110, that 1-800-684-3110. And, of course, this information provided to Lindsey Graham by Attorney General Barr about who the lead source was for Michael Steele. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. They should all be behind bars, and Bob Mueller should be the one going behind bars first. He's responsible at the end of the day for all of this. We'll be back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. So we've walked through all this information. It was all about getting Trump. There was no there. This was a dead end of collusion. Mike Flynn did nothing wrong. It was just to get Trump. And, of course, we know that this involved President Obama and Vice President Biden. Let me repeat that. Vice President Biden, who threw out that, hey, what about the Logan Act? I guess he was more with it at the time because he could remember ancient laws have never been used in the United States. This agent, Special Agent Mike Barnett, the FBI, said there was a Logan Act violation. There's no violation here of the Logan Act. There's no violation of any law with Mike Flynn or anybody else. There's no collusion. Now, this is an example, again, folks, when we say that there are good people at the FBI, that most of them are good, they're doing their job, they're trying to fight crime, keep us safe, that this agent, who also now has spilled it out on everybody. I mean, how does Andrew Weiss be able to try to write books about blaming Bob Mueller and others saying they weren't tough enough on obstruction? And this guy's saying there was nothing to obstruct because there was no collusion. So there couldn't be, you know, there's no obstruction. And they would make up theories. And then 2 days later, they would move on to another theory. They were supposed to be the all-stars. All to get Trump, all partisan, means all criminal, and they should all go to jail. I want to go to Harry Hutchinson first, then we're going to go to your phone calls. Harry, this is just, it's not shocking to me anymore, I guess, because we've seen so much, but it just sheds light on why these investigations are taking a long time from people like Durham and others, because there is so much there.
Absolutely. So Americans are entitled to the presumption of innocence. However, the special counsel's office, we should note, had already determined in this particular case the guilt of General Flynn and of the Trump campaign. The special counsel's office did not lead a real investigation. Instead, they were in hot pursuit of facts to support a conclusion that they had already reached. So no facts existed in this particular case, so they unleashed FBI agents to make up facts. The FBI investigation of General Flynn and the Trump campaign was so outlandish, so fictional, that it makes the National Enquirer look like a serious publication. So I'm not even sure that the National Enquirer would publish this type of information. It is all grounded as Agent Barnett says, in supposition based on supposition, it led to FBI agents doing what? Buying professional liability insurance because they knew that they were making it up as they went along.
Yeah, I mean, buying professional liability insurance, and they were worried because they kept being instructed, Harry, to keep this going when there was nothing to keep going on. And so they were having to make up suppositions, as you said, supposition upon supposition. And now we know, on top of that, that they knew that the dossier's lead source was likely a Russian spy. And the only reason that investigation into him, which was multi-year investigation, was ever halted was because he left the U.S. jurisdiction. They even say that if he came back into U.S. jurisdiction, they'd be reopening the investigation on whether or not they should apprehend him as a Russian spy.
I think that is absolutely correct. And I agree with your prior analysis that each and every member of the special counsel's team ought to be under a serious criminal investigation right here, right now, and each of them, in my judgment, should face serious jail time because they put the nation through a phony investigation they knew was phony from the get-go, but nonetheless, they continued it ad nauseum, and I think Robert Mueller should be the lead person who faces a jail term. I think it's very, very important as well to note that we have clear and unmistakable evidence that President Obama and the Obama-Biden administration was indeed in the loop. And some might say they were indeed in the fix.
Yeah, I mean, I think this, look, this is the scary part about all of this. Unless the criminal charges are brought very soon, these people are going to be put back in power by Joe Biden. People like Andrew Weissman and Sally Yates, they're hanging around him. And they're all culpable here. I mean, so Andrew Weissman, we have now an FBI agent who's turned, who would be willing to provide this testimony about the wrongdoing. And I don't think he's going to say this was criminal, that was criminal. You don't need him to do that. You just need him to speak, just like he is, openly and honestly about how bad this was. It was a dead end. It was out to get Trump, even though they had no evidence. They kept it open. They would go off suppositions. They would say, oh, no, the next big thing's coming, and there was no next big thing. And then they went from collusion, which he said was a dead end, to obstruction, which ended up being a dead end as well. Thando, what we all have to remember, though, is that Joe Biden will put these people in charge if they are not behind bars, if he does become president of the United States.
Well, they were also directly involved, Jordan. I mean, you went through this in an earlier segment, but I really want people to listen to this. Look at the January 4th and January 5th timeline. We already knew that on January 4th, the D.C. field office had recommended that Crossfire Razor be closed. We already knew that on January 5th, President Obama convened a meeting with Vice President Biden, Sally Yates, Jim Comey, and Susan Rice to discuss all of this. But, Jordan, we knew that information, but when you look at it in context with the text messages you read in an earlier segment, it becomes shocking. You see in these text messages that the agents working the case were shocked that Crossfire Razor was going to stay open against their recommendation. In fact, that, you know, they're issuing expletives. They're so upset about it. And then, Jordan, this is the part that I want people to really listen to. As if they weren't troubled enough by Razor staying open, in context, here's the very next text message after that conversation. What's the word on how O's briefing went? Who is O? O is Obama, our president. And then what is the result of that? That people over here are scrambling for info to support certain things, and it's a madhouse. Jordan, look, if there's another explanation other than that meeting inside the Oval Office, all of these issues that we've talked about, those were the topic of that meeting, Jordan. And President Obama and Vice President Biden were fully briefed. They were fully involved. And some directive that came out of that meeting, Jordan, I don't really think I'm connecting too many dots unfairly here. Actually, I don't think I'm connecting any dots unfairly here. The result after that Oval Office meeting was that people at the DOJ and the FBI went scrambling around for info to support certain things, and it's a madhouse. Jordan, this went all the way to the Oval Office. I think it's conclusive now.
Yeah, I mean, I do too. Yeah, this is interesting. We have a caller from Anthony in Georgia on line one. I want to go to him. Anthony, welcome to JSecio Live. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you. Yes, sir. My question is, sir, do you really believe that Lindsey Graham and the DOJ is going to do anything about all this information? For even got Wiseman, as you said, writing a book. All these people are going to go free. And, sir, I have no faith in any FBI agent from they had the information. They could have presented this a long time ago.
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, they're being who are they going to? They told those who were their higher ups. They had really nowhere to go with it. They couldn't leak the information. That would get them in trouble. So they were waiting for inspector generals. They were waiting for people like U.S. Attorney Durham to be appointed to tell their story too, because their bosses told them to shut up in meetings, told them to stop talking in interviews with witnesses during the special counsel's team. I think that you have to remind yourself that there's already been one member of the FBI who has pled guilty to a crime involving this. We are learning so much every day. So the level of criminal activity ratchets up. I don't know if you're going to see grand jury indictments this week or next week. But I cannot imagine, unless Joe Biden wins and this is not able to be finished before and he shuts it down. Of course, he won't be impeached over that if he was the president. And he'll shut down this investigation. And unless that happens, that no one else is going to be indicted from this, Harry. It just seems like there's just too much there. And the DOJ is giving us enough information to make that assumption that some other higher level officials that on the special counsel's team and the FBI look like indictments would be coming for those types based off what they did.
Absolutely. And I think Joe Biden recognizing that the trail leads back to Joe Biden and perhaps President Trump would be prepared to shut this investigation down.
Yeah. So I think that's the scary part is that if Joe Biden gets in, this investigation has been hampered by COVID. I want to make that clear to everybody. It made it that much tougher to get the interviews. I mean, this is national security interviews. You can't just do all these over Zoom. So COVID hampered this. And because of that, I think it's a slower start, and we're getting very close to an election. But listen, we're getting very close to election. They're still putting this information out. We're learning a lot. It's not like they've gone silent from Durham's team and the other U.S. attorneys looking at this. So let's just keep the information. Let's keep educating ourselves. Let's stay on top of it. We certainly will at the ACLJ. Now, coming up, we're going to take more of your phone calls. Give us a call now, 1-800-684-3110. These mail-in ballot situation. The violence we're seeing in our streets, of course, and an election.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
mean, they kind of said every. Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. I was on Fox News last night. We were talking about it as we were watching the replay of it for our Facebook and Periscope audience. We tweeted that out, put it on Facebook too, so you can check it out. And it just kind of described, because we were talking about Louisville, and we were talking about the politics of it, the law and order message, and of course the Democrat that I was debating. She said, you know, this is everything you're saying is racist. And I was talking about how people might think about how they cast their vote when they see police officers getting shot and they see this violence that keeps erupting in situations where you should be able to have a protest. It would make sense, I think, after the grand jury came down for a protest for Breonna Taylor. And it should be mostly peaceful. And I even said there should be probably some civil disobedience there, not abiding by the curfews. That doesn't mean shooting police officers. And when you start shooting police officers, and when you can see Antifa start unloading the U-Haul trucks before the grand jury's even made the decision, that it's a pre-planned disaster of chaos and violence, that will affect voters. It's not racist to say that. Because, in fact, it's mostly, honestly, those instigators are white. And they're taking over what should be protests that are being led by African Americans and the family members of these victims of what seem to be more than bizarre incidents, but wrong, and where it's police misconduct, and then you have to determine, as a grand jury has to figure out, is it criminal? But you never want to rely on the criminal justice system to right all your wrongs either. But that's, you know, we can have peaceful, I support peaceful protests, I even support civil disobedience. Guns, shooting cops, it's not racist to say that may affect how moms and dads may vote. You know, especially people who live in the suburbs of major cities, which a lot of people do, including me. So, again, 1-800-684-3110, that's what we were talking about during the break. It's interesting because, you know, Peter Strzok the entire time is trying to say that the president is a Russian agent. He still says that today in interviews. The president has been compromised. He's being controlled by Russia. But it was a Russian agent that was the source of all the negative information that Peter Strzok even had on President Trump to make that claim. So a Russian agent plants information in the dossier so Peter Strzok can then claim President Trump is a Russian agent. I don't know what happened to Dan Coats, how why he can't shake a feeling that he has. Because what I don't like about what Dan Coats did, and I respect Dan Coats, but Dan Coats said he has never seen any evidence that the president was compromised by Russia, but he just couldn't shake the feeling that he was. Those are those Washington, again, polite society. They have no business being in government anymore. They're just like Mueller. They should have probably been put in by the administration. I think that was one of the toughest things the Trump administration has gone through. I think they finally were getting it right, excuse me, and are getting it right, is who to put in place. So they put in place people like Rick Grenell, and they put in place the right kind of national, director of national intelligence now in Ratcliffe. But it took them some time, Than, because they were dealing with Washington, D.C., and who was eligible. So they put in the old school D.C., and there's I don't care if they're Republicans like Dan Coats, they are rotten to the core when it comes to dealing with people like Donald Trump who shake them up. I think what Dan Coats didn't like was that Donald Trump became president of the United States and he was more liked by the American people than people like Dan Coats would ever be. And he was representing the new party. And maybe they weren't comfortable with that. And that's what they couldn't shake. But they still, even after we have these FBI agents on the record saying there's no there, it's dead end, it's just out to get Trump, even people appointed by President Trump, you know, come out and say, I never saw any evidence, but I just can't shake it. They just aren't qualified to be leaders anymore, in my mind.
Yeah, I think what's abundantly clear, Jordan, is the sweeping scope of people inside the government, both Republican and Democrat, that knew about the faults inside this investigation. I mean, you want to talk about the subsource for the Steele dossier potentially being a Russian agent. This was not a secret, Jordan. The FBI had investigated, and there is proof of that in the new information that Chairman Graham has put out. There was an FBI counterintelligence investigation into that fact. So people like Dan Coats and others would have known about that, Jordan. When that information was being put forward to go inside the FISA application, everyone involved should have been able to recognize that and say, no, that is not a piece of information that we're going to put inside that. And Jordan, we don't have time to go all the way down this, but there's also information in the evidence that Chairman Graham put out that that same subsource was recruiting people that were close to the Obama administration and saying, oh, by the way, if you get a job inside government, I know where you can make a little bit of money if you share information with me. Jordan, that is a source that the FBI should have not only not been using, they should have been investigating. And oh, by the way, they did. They did investigate them.
I'm going to take the final two calls of the day. Erla called in from Oregon on line three. Erla, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I just wanted to ask if all of these FBI agents are getting liability insurance or did, is there a chance that General Flynn will be able to recoup all the monies he lost trying to defend himself plus the loss of his home?
He's still defending himself. Okay, this is not over. In fact, we got all this information, Harry, because he is still having to defend himself. And this came from the Department of Justice and Sidney Powell's filing to dismiss the charges again. They're back before Judge Sullivan. So this is not even over for Mike Flynn. He has not gotten to the point of trying to recoup his attorney's fees.
Absolutely. So the evidence is unmistakably clear that Michael Flynn did not engage in any misconduct. Number two, the FBI knew that. Number three, the purchase of liability insurance will not necessarily affect his ability to recover, because typically with the purchase of liability insurance, it's prospective. In other words, you purchase the insurance today, and then it insures you for misconduct later. These FBI agents had it already engaged in misconduct, and consequently, the insurance and the insurer would not likely reimburse them for destroying Flynn's life and for the fact that he had to incur huge legal fees. So General Flynn will have to go after them in an individual capacity, will have to go after their assets,
yeah.
But certainly I hope he is able to be made whole.
Yeah, so yeah, that's the hope, but my first goal with this is getting him cleared of these charges. Well, let's not forget that's still ongoing. Final call of the day, Kim in New York on line six. Kim, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Since Biden was in the office when the FBI briefed them and his name was on the masking paperwork.
The unmasking, yep.
Would that disqualify him for running for president?
No, it's not. There's no charges have been brought against Joe Biden. The Democrat Party chose him to be their nominee in kind of shocking way. He seems so out of touch. He's not really campaigning. He's going to face one of the toughest debaters of the country, and I don't know what Joe Biden's strategy will be. He said it's basically going to be to pivot every time Donald Trump tries to punch. I don't think Joe Biden's going to be able to try to do that. I think he'll want to punch back, but he can't even put like sentences together. But I don't think it disqualifies him legally yet, because there's no charges against him. I think it could disqualify you for a person from voting for him. You could say, I'm not going to vote for this person because of all the information I've learned about him and his son's dealings and this and that. And so he's not going to get my vote. I don't trust him as president. He did nothing for 40 plus years in Washington. Wasn't very effective as a vice president. Was against the Osama bin Laden raid. It's not the kind of guy I want leading our country through COVID or out of COVID and into an economic recovery, which is ongoing as we speak. Let me just tell you, folks, if Joe Biden wins and these people at the special counsel's team are not behind bars yet, they're going to be taking over the government again. Take that into the weekend. Supreme Court announcement tomorrow, 5 p.m. Eastern Time.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.